Live Business Podcast is brought to you by Noosey. Online proposals made simple for creative businesses. Visit noosey.com to learn how your business can start winning more projects today.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Creative Business Podcast, the podcast that aims to help you build a better, more successful creative business. So this week we're actually going to be following on with the theme from my interview last week with Philip Morgan on positioning and setting yourself up as a specialist. I actually chatted to Caroline Sommer of sommerdesign.co.uk, who's made this move recently herself from being a generalist full-service design agency to that of a specialist, and the changes have already been fantastic for her. And so I wanted to take a real world example and see how these changes have helped her to grow her business, helped her to charge more, and generally just allowed her to have a lot more fun while she's doing her work. So let's jump into this week's interview with Caroline. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, Nathan.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. And it's great to be on your podcast here.
Oh, thank you very much. Great to talk to you. Caroline is actually a customer of Noosey. That's how I got to know her initially. But you actually found out about us via Marie Polin, yep?
That's right, yes, yep.
Okay. Marie was sort of helping you with some respects sort of around you running your business, is that right?
Yes, that's right. If I tell you a little bit about my business, so I started Sommer Design in 2009. Mm-hmm. And fairly common story, I've been working as a graphic designer in a marketing department for a large corporate, and our whole department was made redundant at the beginning of the last recession.
That doesn't sound familiar.
Very familiar. And I'd been there several years, and it was quite a good settlement package. And so that was the impetus to make me start. Had some money in the bank and time to go and do it. This comes after 20 years of working for someone else. So it was very exciting to start out on my own. And then, as you mentioned, Marie Poulin, who runs the Digital Strategy School, was a great sort of turning point for me when I did her online course, which is a mixture of online and then the face-to-face via Skype and Google Hangouts. So I was exposed to other designers and other creative people and the fears and the challenges that we all faced. And it was very open, very transparent, and everyone was very willing to share their experiences.
Had Sommer Design already begun at this point, or was this sort of leading up to it? Or?
Yes. Well, I began 7 years. Seventh year. So kind of struggling along on my own. Really using the skill set that I had, which was graphic design, and that's all I ever knew, and just logo design, website design, brochures, etc. Working with Marie, then her whole philosophy is looking at it more from a strategic point of view. So using the skills and the knowledge that you've gained in your career in a more strategic way. And I started to understand the value of what I really had in my hands. So aside from the design skills, which was my natural career, I built up over 20 years of working with agencies and in-house, such a vast experience that I wasn't using, selling, utilizing. I was selling my work on a sort of an hourly rate, and I realized working with Marie that I wasn't, I was giving away my IP. I was giving away all that knowledge I'd gained about how to engage with your clients, how to position your brand in the best market for your business. So giving that away whilst just charging for a logo design or the website. And talking with her and listening to the other members of the group, started to realize that I had a whole lot more powerful substance to give people.
It's incredibly common, that, though, isn't it? Because when we make oftentimes the switch from sort of freelance, should we say, to business person, running our business, even though we may be a freelancer, when you make that change to realize, all of a sudden you realize, oh, well, actually, I'm not just selling my technical skills. I'm not just selling the fact that I can design or the fact that I can code. It's, that I'm actually helping businesses to improve their businesses.
And probably as you're a freelancer, you have more access to other business owners, whereas before you're a small cog in a big organization. Talking to other business owners and then seeing the value that you're adding to them and the difference that you're making to them, that helped me realize, okay, I've got something here.
So you started on your own. So you made the switch into this new what became Soma Design, and then you've actually grown the team up. Is that right? So you actually have collaborators and team members. And
exactly, yes, I have another lady, another designer that works with me, mm-hmm. And also in the past 7 years, then built up other partners that I joint venture with. So I have web developers, photographers, copywriters, people that I can pull in according to the job. Mm-hmm. So if it's a bigger job and we need more people, then we all come together. They're all running their own businesses. They're all relatively boutique businesses, and more than willing to sort of partner up and do the same thing. Over time, you meet like-minded people, you get to trust them, and they're really keen to do their best. They're growing their business, and if we can do it together, it becomes more fun, and we can offer our clients a full boutique service, mm-hmm. agency service.
So the thing that really interested me when we spoke via email before was the fact that Soma Design was a full service agency, and yes. you mentioned that you were making the move from being sort of a generalist provider to more of a specialist, to finding yep. perhaps maybe a niche market. So what prompted this change? Why did you feel the need to go down this road?
I think it was, again, just, and it's been in the last year, sort of working with Marie and other strategists and seeing it's exhausting just charging per hour for what you can do. And there seems to be a ceiling as well that you can only charge so much for a brochure or a leaflet or in fact, a website. But when you start talking about branding, and that's where I've gone towards branding, first of all, it opens up the ball game. There's a whole lot more value you can put on branding and how it can actually change your business, rather than just sticking to the design stuff where, yeah, it fills a purpose, but you're not focusing on the bigger picture of growing somebody's business and making sure that their brand answers.
And so were you finding that being a full service agency, that you were working with, you know, a whole spectrum of type of clients, or?
Yeah, exactly. So it could be the business advisor, it could be the vet, the next week it could be a recruitment company. And so and whilst, yeah, as a designer, I can cope with that. It was constant. I was constantly doing one-off jobs, I suppose, which a lot of freelancers do. And then you're constantly looking for the next one. There are retainers to be had in website, but my area was design and branding. And by moving into branding, then because you're looking at the bigger picture, helping the companies develop, there's more things to do along the pathway. And they get to know you, and they get to trust you, and they rely on your advice. And, you know, I'm getting my clients call me saying, okay, we're thinking about doing this. What do you think? Which is lovely.
So you're helping provide the strategy behind the branding as well, then. It's
exactly.
It's not just the case now of, here's yeah. the logo and there you go.
Exactly. Yes, that's right. Thinking of it long term and moving brand strategy, marketing, communication, ongoing marketing communication. So what are you going to be doing in 2 years' time, in 5 years' time? What's the end goal? What are you trying to achieve?
And moving over into branding, was that a natural progression because that was where you came from, or was it something that you looked at and actually sort of studied?
Yes, a natural progression. I absolutely love marketing and branding and strategy, and then studying a little bit more about it, reading up, talking to other designers, how they coach with it, what we felt we could package up and sell as well.
The reason I ask is that many actually struggle with this. There are a lot of agencies and a lot of freelancers and studios out there who are interested in making this move into perhaps serving a niche market, but actually struggle with the process of, well, actually, you know, which market should I be serving? Or perhaps, you know, because some say, well, look at the customers you've had over the last year, and perhaps look to those that have been maybe the most profitable, or those that you've found the easiest to reach, or those you've enjoyed working with. Were any of those a factor in the choice, or was it just
definitely? No, I'm I I would say I'm still in the process of niching down, because first of all, it was towards branding. And then my second and further niching that to one particular industry, which is recruitment. And that happened from, it's sort of happened for me over the last 3 months. Started working with a recruitment company. We were rebuilding their site and finding I really like working with these people and thinking about it long term and how I wanted to be around to help them. Then took a review of my client list and saw that I actually had already had 5 or 6 clients that were working in recruitment. They were in different sectors, IT, catering, and childcare, but they were still recruitment. And I really enjoyed working with the owners of all of these companies. And so niching for me, first of all, it was branding, because that's where I realized I've built up such a pool of knowledge. And then thinking about who I really enjoy working with. And in recruitment, it's all about people. It's also a regulated industry as well, which makes the research a bit easier. Mm-hmm. Most of the companies belong to a registered body. So there's the potential to go online, and you've got a database of potential clients that you can then go and study. What I'm doing, I'm in the process now of putting a package together to target 2 recruitment companies. So as well as that, I'm interviewing my current clients to really dig down and find out what they need, what's really going to help them. Putting that together, and then in the autumn planning to send out a mailing about how we can really help them create almost a superior brand in their industry.
That's fantastic to hear that you actually really have thought about this, because, you know, when you said you were sort of beginning to specialize in branding, I think a lot of people stop there, you know, don't they? They say, well, this is my speciality, it's branding, but I'm still going to serve anyone as long as it's branding as somebody's. But it's fantastic to hear that you've actually taken it, you've actually drilled down a step further and saying, well, this is who I can serve with my branding.
And it all came about just from thinking, you know, we've only got one life and you want to enjoy it. And, you know, we spend more than half our time at our desks. And if you can work with great people, and understanding that from building up my own business and joint venturing up with people that I really align with, and really get on with, has made the experience so much better. I thought, okay, right. So if I can get my clients to be like this as well, wow,
it's wonderful. Got the complete package.
Yeah. So it's a work in progress, and I'm sure there'll be ups and downs along the way, but enjoying it. I've picked an area that I like, and the people seem to be great. It's, like I said, it's also regulated, so there's an opportunity for me to easily put together a strategy of research and targeting. So that does make it easier. As I'm niching down, I'm actually finding it easier to target.
I was actually going to ask you about that. I mean, because it potentially moving to a niche audience makes advertising easier, you know, and potentially more economical. Mm-hmm. So, and you've sort of already briefly mentioned this. So, is this going to affect now the way that you market Soma?
It will, and we're in the beginning of it. And I think over the coming 6 months, it will make it easier. I'm getting to really understand how I can help my recruitment companies, how I can make them stand out, how I can find their USP, every one of them is different. And whilst they're all recruitment and some may be competing against each other, you can still draw things out of their individual experiences to make them different. And they've all got something that they're good at.
And do you think you'll be touching on any sort of new strategies to, I mean, you mentioned reaching because they work, you know, governed by these specific bodies, but are there any sort of strategies that you think now that you can look at that perhaps you couldn't previously?
Yes, I guess in helping, not all of the companies will belong to all of the bodies. So then finding out which ones work best for which sector and becoming the expert in that, so that I can go to them and say, well, had you actually thought about that? Do you know about this body? And I was speaking to another recruitment agency in my target market, not my client, and they were a new startup, 1 year in, and they weren't aware. They'd been working in industry and it was their first experience of running a business. So, you know, to be able to start to give them advice about regulatory bodies in their area and things that they needed to do. Registering as a data controller, they're things that we regularly advise our clients on.
Oh, fantastic. It's lovely to be able to get to that point where you're actually helping others as well, make that transition now and to learn the right things that weren't previously made aware of.
Yes, yes. Whilst in their own industry. But when you, like we started off by saying, when you run your own business, that's a whole different ballgame and there's things you need to do.
So with regards to the team that you said that you have sort of team members that you can count on and bring in for certain projects, does this mean now that you're going to have to sort of count on a more specialised team and or perhaps train up the current team members you have? How will it work?
That's a good question. Generally, most of the team, the process is the same. In taking a brief, in doing your homework, doing your research. I think the current team, they will adapt easily. What I have done, I'm actually teaming up with another brand consultant, which again, it's making it more enjoyable, and we can split the research. So he's been working in industry. He's just come out, and he's quite keen to kind of buddy up with someone. We can split the research, and then we can actually go together on pitches. Having two brand consultants at a high level means that we can then actually target larger companies as well. Got a great experience between us, and makes it enjoyable, makes it fun as well to work with another person.
So have you actually been able to see any sort of immediate benefits since you started making these changes, since you started going down this road of specializing?
Yes, I think more confidence in what I've got and what I didn't realize.
You sound very confident in what you're doing.
It's been a long journey. just this week, I suppose, really feeling confident enough to sell the strategy above the design.
Oh, wow.
So
that's a big game changer.
That was a good one. And I just bit the bullet and said, yeah, just go for it. The company had come to me for a rebrand to their website, but were quite adamant that the logo was fine and it was didn't need to change. And sort of listened to them, put the phone down, and thought about it. Looked at their logo, and it is quite. It really doesn't suit what they're trying to do. It's very generic. And
so how do you take a client who's come to you for an initial sort of rebrand and turn that around and say, well, do you know what? You know, I think this is going to benefit you more, and then you being able to sell a strategy package as opposed to rebranding. How do you manage to spin that round? So
actually asking the question about his current identity. So what does it mean to him? If a client is landing on the website, are they going to engage with it? Does it feel right? Is it going to add any value? And just asked him directly. Is it saying what you're really good at? Is it really just talking and then sharing my experience and what we were offering to him in terms of brand positioning, understanding your USP, using your own valuable sort of brand personality and injecting that into the visual side was going to be a whole lot more meaningful for him and his team. And if you embody that and that's got your true spirit in it, then I think it's going to really help the engagement from the end client to them.
Yeah, and do you think that you were asking questions that perhaps other agencies weren't asking?
Yeah, maybe you would be a bit shy too. I have to say, it was a little bit easier. I had met this chap and knew about the company a couple of years ago, so we weren't new to each other, which maybe that helps, gives you a bit of confidence to say. And to be honest, it got to the point where I thought, well, I don't actually want to rebrand this website for you if you're not going to change the identity, because it's going to look, it's not going to reflect well on what I do, and I wouldn't be able to show anybody, I wouldn't be able to use it. That's a tough one. If you think maybe I should just walk away from this, if they're not willing to listen, I'm willing, to take a chance.
Yeah, that's a big decision to have to make. And sometimes, because we want to eat, or because we need to pay the bills, or
yes.
Sometimes, we have taken on those jobs that perhaps, haven't aligned really with our, what we want.
Yes, it almost sounds like a luxury to do that. But it gets to the point where if you keep accepting them, then you're never going to change, because we all need to eat and we always need to do that. It's tough. I think it's tough. Maybe for a while you do need to, suck it and still take on those extra jobs until either you can, build up some revenue or put something aside.
So do you think there's something to be said for paying your dues before you go, before you specialise? Do you need to spend those years in the wilderness, do you think?
Yeah, you probably need to go through some kind of pain. I think most designers do. And it's a lot self-inflicted, mostly, and that sort of whole imposter complex. Am I good enough? Have I got it? Can I do it? Can I help anyone else? And at the end of the day, yes, or standing up to your fears, taking it forward.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you were very lucky to have been able to hook up with Marie, who was able to show you perhaps a different way of doing business. Do you think there have been any sort of any negative impact at all to what you're doing in any respect, or any fears that perhaps that could lead to negativity?
No negative impact, but there's always your own fears to conquer, I think, constantly. And build, you're a small company and you can get very insular. Having a network outside of that, I've started a mastermind group with a couple of colleagues, and we meet once a month, and it's really just to support each other. And we all have different areas that we're tackling. We all feel low at some point, and it's just being able to reach out, and I've known them for sort of 5-6 years, and we can talk quite easily. Having a support network outside of your own business is good. They're more objective. And support, peer support, always.
Is this the first time that you've had a group similar to this since starting your business?
Yes. After working with Marie, seeing the power of that, and I'm sort of still on the Facebook group, but they're in Canada. They're. I do need to meet up with people face to face. That's great. They're in London.
The power of having some kind of mastermind group or support group, I think, is incredibly underrated. And again, I think going back to that idea of, when you're starting a business, especially coming from freelance or from being an employee, these are things that you just don't even imagine that exist. Support group for me running a business. I'm not a drug addict. I'm someone running a business, but it's so valuable. I think it's one of the most valuable things you can do running a business.
Definitely. Yeah, you need it. And if it's, freelance or small business, definitely.
Obviously, running a business, running an agency comes down to, staying profitable. If you can't keep the doors open, then there's a problem. As specializing is making this change, does it mean that you're going to be able to command higher rates now?
I can see it already has. Even though I've only been doing it a couple of months, having the confidence to talk about sales strategy, people pay more for that because it's going to add them more value. So yes,
that's the answer I was hoping for. So I mean, if you're already selling, strategy packages above your design packages, then it already sounds like you're going in a really great direction. Okay, so perhaps for some of the smaller agencies or studios, maybe not even the smaller ones, who are considering specializing, everyone tells us we should be doing it. For many reasons, we don't, for fear or because, we're just too busy. There are always so many reasons not to look into something new. But where would you advise that people begin to look at within their businesses, to see whether it's even an option?
I can only talk about my own experience in sort of as a designer, and I'm a graphic designer first rather than a web designer. It's vast, and it has helped me to focus, definitely, by niching down. Otherwise, you're pulled in so many directions. What do you do? Where do you go? And you take so many jobs that maybe you shouldn't take. And as I said before, really looking at what do you love? What's your passion? What do you enjoy? Because your passion will drive you.
So if you had to put it in perhaps into steps, it would be looking at what you enjoy doing, is it? And then
yes, the clients that you enjoy working with, the type of work you enjoy. Mm-hmm. You may be a better project manager. You may be, or you may just want to be a developer. And it's the coding that really turns you on. Yeah, accepting yourself probably and what you like and what you're good at. And then seeing how that benefits others, how you can use it, how it can turn into a business commodity.
And you actually did look past to past clients.
Yeah, I did an analysis, and this comes out of the Digital Strategy School. They get you to do an audit of your current business and your clients, where you are, a snapshot of where you are, who you're serving, what you're offering them, what's working, what's not working. You may be getting a lot of work through a certain area, but maybe it's not profitable. Maybe it's the small jobs that eat your time. Those clients take just as much looking after communication correspondence as you would put into a medium-sized job.
Yeah, it's easy to accept busy as being successful, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah. So being more proactive rather than reactive.
Fantastic. So what do you think the immediate future looks like for Soma Design now with all these fantastic changes going on? What do you hope it to be now in, say, 6 months, 12 months?
6 months' time, having a regular stream of branding contracts, having a target market, pitching to them, having a formula that we go to market with them, having it really tied down and neat, how we approach it, how we offer the service, and how we help them with the strategy for their businesses to grow. So very exciting. I'm in the area that fascinates me the most.
You sound very excited, and it sounds like it's going very well. So I'm very happy for you.
It's great. I feel like I'm in the right place. And I do a bit of networking as well in London. Mm-hmm. And people are starting to call me the branding person, the branding strategist, which is amazing. And then the referrals of work that I'm getting, they're the right referrals. People have got it. They've listened to me. I've been telling them the right kind of things, telling them the right stories of how I've helped people, how I've guided them, how I've almost come to the point where I've turned stuff away because I can't do it. It's not right. If we can't change the one thing that's the most important aspect. Going places.
So if people want to find out more about what you're up to, where's the best place to go?
I think start on my website, drop me an email. I'm also on LinkedIn as well, which is a great place to hook up.
That's somadesign.co.uk, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me today, Caroline. And it sounds like things are going really well for you. I hope they keep going in the same direction.
Great. Lovely to speak to you. And I love Newsy. It's really helped me.
Thank you so much, Caroline.
Great. Okay, Cheers, thank you. Bye-bye.
So I guess it might seem like we're kind of harping on about becoming a specialist, you know, and the advantages. And, you know, obviously there are a lot of advantages to specialising, to looking to go after a niche market. I don't deny as well that there obviously are a few downsides to this, but I think the advantages far outweigh any disadvantages you might find in making the move from generalist to specialist. So I hope you enjoyed the interview with Caroline today. Be sure to go and check out their website over at somadesign.co.uk. You know, as per usual, if you're enjoying the interviews, I'd love for you to take a couple of seconds and head over to iTunes, where you can leave a 5-star review. This helps us to be more visible, to have more visibility, and to be seen and listened to by more people. So I hope you have a great week, and I'll be back the same time next week. Take care, good luck, and goodbye.